Hi everybody, Steve Savitsky here, and today we have a really, really wonderful guest. We have Amy Handlin, and Amy wrote an article for us in the next issue that's coming out of the Jewish Action, and it was a very, very interesting article, and she is quite an accomplished person with a PhD, Associate Professor of Marketing at Monmouth University, and also, perhaps most importantly, she'll tell us, Deputy Minority Leader of the New Jersey General Assembly. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm fine, and I really appreciate your taking some time to talk with me today, Steve. I think these issues are very, very important to the entire Orthodox community and to the Jewish community more broadly.
I agree, and I read the article, and it's really, really fascinating. So the article is called Politics, Be Your Own Lobbyist, How to Speak Up for Your Community. So it seemed what you were saying to a certain extent is, firstly, let's talk about a new community that, you know, just emerging. They may have some needs. How do you recommend that they become known to the political leaders?
Well, the first and most important part is to recognize that they do need to become known to local political leaders. And there's a couple of different things going on here. First, many members of the Jewish community are very, very highly educated about what's going on in Washington and in Israel and around the world, but they're less educated about what's going on in their backyards. It's because of we don't have enough time to keep on top of local newspapers and so forth, and we think that somebody else is going to take care of these things for us, or we just don't realize how much our quality of life is affected by the decisions that are made at town hall and at the county courthouse, not only on Capitol Hill. So, as I said, step number one is to acknowledge that what goes on the state, county, and local levels of government is critical. The second thing is that people need to realize that when you are part of an emerging from community, the reality is that your new neighbors probably look at you with some degree of suspicion. It doesn't mean that they're anti-Semitic, and it doesn't mean that they're driven by ill will of any kind. It simply means that they look and they see families who dress differently, who have different customs and habits, who send their children to different schools, and who don't show up at the church picnic. And it's very, very important at an early stage of an Orthodox community's development to reach out to those folks and make sure they understand that we're all Americans and we can not only live together in harmony, but we can help each other and we can become firm friends.
Well, you know, let me ask you this question. So let's kind of digress just for one moment. Let's forget about the elected officials right now, but I think you're bringing up an excellent point. How would you recommend that this new group of, you know, Orthodox Jews who move into community, acclimate themselves to the community, make their, you know, beliefs known, who they are? And I'm not talking about elected officials. I'm talking about neighbors and people in the community in general.
Simply being active, being visible, making sure that that we don't keep to ourselves to the point where, we encourage others to view us as some mysterious other. We don't want to be the other. And thank God, here in America, we don't have to be. It is in our hands to become, as I said, visible, to become part of the landscape, to take advantage of the public facilities, to show up at public events and celebrations, parades and baseball games and so on.
Show them that you're a normal person.
Correct.
Okay. Well, no, that's an important thing. Listen, sometimes they have these feelings. They've read articles or they don't know. They don't know what to believe. And so you show them you're a normal, you know, really good person and you kind of break down the barriers. And you talk about getting to know your local officials, okay? And, I think the part of the article that really was, I found really interesting was that you talk about how pleased they are to find out who you are because it's important to them. I don't know if people realize that.
One of the enormous strengths of our Jewish communities is that we have very, very strong rates of voter registration and voter turnout. And every politician in this country at every level, I guarantee, is keenly aware of that. And when an official at any level gets a call or an email from a representative of the Orthodox community, and it doesn't have to be an official representative, just a constituent who is part of an Orthodox community, I promise that official will be delighted to have an opportunity to build bridges, because from the official's perspective, from the politician's perspective, it's a potentially untapped source of new votes. And
right,
what politician doesn't want new votes?
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. So now you're talking about how they could come to visit your synagogue. I mean, I think people always feel embarrassed if they can't bring in more than X amount of people to come. I mean, I don't know that, I'm not sure it's true, but is there a minimum number that you walk into a room and you go, oh, what did I waste my time for?
It's quality, not quantity, that counts.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, you'd never want to overpromise. It's not a good idea to call, let's say, the mayor of your town and say, I'd love you to come to pay a visit to the Jewish Community Center that we've just inaugurated here. There are going to be hundreds of people there who are eager to shake your hand when, you know, you have no reason to believe that, in fact, you can pull together hundreds of people when it's more likely to be a couple dozen people. As long as you don't overpromise, there will be no expectation other than some number of community members will be there and be very
okay,
happy to welcome you.
And I think another thing that's interesting in the article is that you talk about, and this is something that everyone always believes, you know, flood them with mail. You know, they weigh it by the pound. So the more you send, the better off you are. And you make a very good point of distinguishing between when that may be appropriate and when it's not. So you maybe you could elaborate on that.
You know, Steve, it's funny. I've been in elective office now for about two decades. So I speak from many years of experience. But any politician who has been in any office for more than 13 seconds will tell you that a cyber barrage has almost an inverse impact, in the sense that the bigger it gets, the less likely it is that the recipient will actually read all those hundreds and hundreds of messages in their inbox. They will count the number of messages if they're all about the same issue. They want to know how many A's, how many I's, how many nays, but they will not read anything that you may attach to what would otherwise be a standardized text. So what I always tell people is, if you need an answer to a specific question, if you want to arrange a meeting, if you have details that you need to convey that set your situation apart from someone else's, even if it's generally related to a bigger issue, you cannot rely on just sending the same kind of advocacy email that everyone else does. You must either customize your email, and you know, that includes the subject line, but to draw attention to the fact that it's not just one of the massive pile, or much, much better, you should make a phone call or set up a personal meeting.
Okay. So if you have a real issue, you know, let's say you're trying to build a building. I mean, look, what are the issues that we have a lot of times? I mean, in our community, thank God, because we're growing, and it's a phenomenon, it's a great thing for us, and the Orthodox Jewish community is growing. So because of that, you know, we're constantly looking to expand our synagogues, expand our schools, and this is where we run into problems always, because there's usually never enough parking and environmental issues and so on. So how do you go about? What's the first step?
Well, obviously it depends what the specific issue is, but the first step always is to anticipate that there may be a problem, not to just forge blithely ahead and assume that everything will be okay. That's why, going back to what we talked about right at the beginning, that's why I so strongly encourage people to build relationships with the folks who have governmental power, decision-making power, before there's a problem. Because almost inevitably, there will be a problem at some point as the community grows. And it's very, very different to be dealing with someone who already knows you and likes you and respects you than it is to be knocking on the door of a stranger. So, again, you need to start out with those relationships. But then, regardless of what change you're making, what initiative you're taking on, you should always anticipate what the potential problems could be, and make sure that you have the answers to the potential questions, and that you've spoken to the people who will be affected by it. In other words, prevention is much easier than cure, and in many of these cases, you can head off a lot of the potential problems that can happen. And I've seen that with things like zoning issues. They come up all the time.
Sure, exactly.
And it makes a huge difference when your neighbors, the neighbors of the facility, are already disposed to be helpful and friendly, as opposed to being, you know, suspicious and disposed to be argumentative. So zoning issues are always a problem. Errors can really cause delays. And litigation expenses, and you know that's where building those relationships really pays off.
You know, now you mentioned something about, you know, you call it target carefully and confirm your facts. And I just want to question one part about it, because you're saying when you go to one level of government, you know, make sure that they're the right people. Because I guess so many times people come to see somebody and they're really not the right person. But here's my question. I mean, sometimes in order to get to the governor's office, you may have to go through your local state assembly person or the local mayor. And so you've got to make those calls. You seem to say, look, if you're dealing with the state level, you better deal with somebody at the state, because the local person's not going to help you. People feel sometimes, and I've asked them, they said, well, yeah, it's true, but we need an entree to get to that, and therefore we've got to make it a two-call process instead of a one. You seem to say, you know, try to kind of, you know, target in on who you really need.
Well, you mentioned situations where you need to get to the governor. Well, the governor, of course, is at the state level of government, and any member of the legislature in any state will have a much more direct line of communication with the governor's office than an individual citizen, unless the citizen is related to the governor or there's some other very special situation. So, you know, that's not really a matter of two calls. That's a matter of just acknowledging that this is a state matter and that you want to get to the governor, although, many times it may be a legislative issue as opposed to an issue in the executive branch of state government, and that's something that your state representative can tell you. But this is much more of a problem on the local levels. As I say in the article, I've seen it too many times, and I can count, someone who goes to their mayor and demands that the mayor change a state law, or conversely, the person who comes to me as a member of the legislature and pleads with me to fix their sidewalks. This is where a tremendous amount of time is lost, and people get angry because there are delays, time is wasted, they don't understand why. It's not that people aren't trying to help, it's that, you know, for example, in the case where someone comes to me and needs their sidewalk repaired, then my staff and I have to chase after the town officials and the building department and so forth, and it's just, it's a lot slower for us to do that than if you went directly to the town.
That seems to make a lot of sense. And then you talk a little bit about another interesting thing, which is really trying to be positive and to be courteous. And I guess people sometimes could be pretty nasty, I guess, to people. And no one appreciates that.
Yeah, I completely understand why that happens. You know, wandering around in the halls of government can feel very much like, you know, hacking your way through a jungle. It's Byzantine. You don't know where to find anything or anyone, and it's extremely difficult to even understand some of the bureaucratic jargon, much less to get the attention that you need. And it's perfectly understandable that people get angry and they start yelling, and they start making comments that they later wish they could take back. And it's human, and of course the government bureaucrats and politicians do the same thing. It's not one-sided. There can be nastiness on both sides. But the point that I make is that even though a situation may turn adversarial, you gain nothing by starting out that way. And in fact, you cripple yourself, because if you yell at the staff in an office thinking that, just the secretary, or it's just the clerk, or it's just this, or it's just that, you're alienating the person who has a beeline, into the office of the most powerful people there, and who really has their ear and whom in many cases they trust.
But I guess people feel that, if you scream the loudest, you're going to get the most attention. And you're saying, that's really not true.
That's not true. It's terribly, terribly counterproductive.
Okay, listen, I agree. That's why I think it's an important point. I want people to hear that, because I think the people do come sometimes because they are frustrated and they're upset, and so they have to take it out on somebody, and that poor secretary is the brunt of all their anger and frustration. And hopefully they don't, because sometimes courtesy can get you a long way. A real long
right,
way.
And what I tell people is, just the old saying, just count to 10, and it's as important in the business of lobbying as in the business of life. If you are so angry and frustrated that you feel you can't proceed in a calm, rational way, don't. Stop. Calm yourself down. Go take a walk. Do something else, and then pick up where you left off.
Right.
That way, you won't start out, 10 steps behind.
And then I guess, most importantly, which is vote, 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 vote. Because if you don't vote, it makes no difference. I mean, you've got to vote. You got to show people that you really care. And voting at a local election, I know people who just, they don't vote at the local election. Sure, a presidential election, they're going to vote. But a local election, they don't vote. And they're making a big mistake by not doing that.
They do. In the reality for the Orthodox community is that democracy is the gift that enables us to exercise outsized influence, well beyond our numbers in this country, and particularly in our towns, in our backyards. The reality is that politicians at every level carefully monitor where their votes come from. They don't forget who goes to the polls, and they notice who doesn't go to the polls. And voting is such an easy thing to do, and it's so powerful, and it's so much of what this great country is about, I frankly can't I cannot fathom why someone would not be willing to take the few minutes involved to go vote. And it's just as important for us to model that for our children, so that the next generation of Orthodox Jews will continue to build on the successes that we've had in America.
Right. And so, that the Orthodox Union, one of our big issues, I know you know it well, has been the affordability of, education.
Yes.
Very difficult for us, and we've been working real hard in the state of New Jersey and trying to follow, your lead and your advice. So do you think we're going to be successful?
Yes, I do. I can't promise that we'll be successful tomorrow or in a week or in a month or even necessarily this year, but we will get there, because our strength is growing day by day, our commitment is growing day by day, and we're on the right side of an issue that that more and more non-Jews are coming to understand. Because of our advocacy, because of the advocacy
right.
of the Orthodox Union and everyone else who was affected by this issue.
That's terrific. Well, listen, we really appreciate your words of wisdom, your advice. I'm sure everyone's going to look forward to reading the article, and hopefully we will be successful with this, and we'll follow your guidance. It's extremely important. And Amy, thank you so much. We've had Amy Handlin on our program, and good luck to you, and thank you for representing us so well in the state of New Jersey.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.